Yet another week here on the Good Neighbor News Talk, 830 WCCO. The Lake Show starts right now. Take you until 9 p.m. this evening. Happy that you guys are along for the ride. Some good conversation to be had tonight. 30 minutes away, we'll talk to University of Minnesota men's college basketball coach Ben Johnson. He will join us at 6:35. But the first thing I want to talk about this evening is my ideas or thoughts with your assistance about how do we go down the road or the path of revitalizing downtown Minneapolis. And this is not a conversation with regards to that downtown Minneapolis isn't starting to bounce back, because it is, okay? There is, if you've been down here in the last year, you've seen it. More restaurants opening up in various different areas. We've seen people come out of their shells to go to the concerts, to go to the games at Target Center, the games at Target Field, all of that. But I would be lying, which I'm not going to do, and say that it's back in the way that we all thought that it would be maybe a couple of years ago as we were coming out of the pandemic. We still got work to do. But with that being said, I think that there's one specific thing that has to happen for us to take that jump into downtown Minneapolis, maybe getting close to what we would call being back. There's two specific blocks that I think we have to figure out what the heck needs to be done with them. And once those two blocks, we figure out how to move forward and what the future of downtown Minneapolis looks like with those two blocks, then I think that we'll have maybe a grasp on how magnificent Minneapolis can be. And those two blocks specifically would be the block that's been talked about a lot here in the last couple of weeks, City Center. Axios did a piece with regards to what should happen at City Center, and should, if the Wolves are going to get a new arena, and at some point they will, should that be a possible location? So there's a lot of talk about that. But it's not just the City Center. It's also, was it the Gallaudet Commons, which is right across from City Center. In my opinion, if you get something figured out right there, it's a game changer for us in downtown Minneapolis. A game changer. A game changer. So what are some of the ideas that you guys think that we should be putting out there about how we address those two blocks specifically? 651-461-9226. Because there's a few things here. First off, when I was a kid, and when I say kid, middle school, high school age, early college, the City Center was the place to be. I loved going to the City Center. Yes, I spent a lot of time at the City Center. And yes, across the street when Schindler's was open, I spent a lot of time there too. Okay? So it was a lot of fun during my high school years coming down to the City Center because it was a mall. Okay? And it was a happening spot. All right? And I know that I don't know when it ended up shifting into being so much of a headquarters for Target. I can't remember which year that happened. But from it not being a mall, it's been a long, long time. Yeah, there's a couple of restaurants in there now. Yes, we got Cardigan Donuts in there, but there's not much happening.
Does Target being there, does that kind of just like change the perception of what it is because it's a corporate headquarter?
But that's what I'm saying. We got it. But if Target is not having people in that office mm-hmm. space anymore, then what is it? Yeah. I think it's totally different. So from that perspective, there's some nostalgia there, right? There's nostalgia there, for me at least, when I think about City Center. But there's also something else that we have to look at and talk about with regards to downtown Minneapolis. And this one, I think I'm going to ruffle some feathers, okay? And I hate to do this, but in life, we have to get out of thinking about when we were kids and think about the future, and understand when things are antiquated.
Oh, I like antiquated.
The Skyway. I know that we feel a certain way about the Skyway, and people all over the country hear about the Skyway. Let's be real.
Hush your mouth.
Let's be real. Other than when it's freezing cold, when it's in the single digits and below zero, do we really need the Skyway anymore? Let's just be honest here. And I know you're feeling a certain way. I can see it in your face. Like, you feel like I've disrespected you. It's almost like you're looking at me like I've slapped someone in your family. Let's be real. We love what we love, old school, but we're new school now. The Skyway, is it still relevant? When I was talking to Laura Oakes earlier about this, she was talking about the business that doesn't really occur in the Skyway anymore. Because remember back in the day, you had the food courts, you had all this different stuff.
And the little retailers, little shops that were there.
It's not happening anymore.
Yeah,
It's not happening anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad to think about all of the businesses and things that have changed since the pandemic. Because, I mean, admittedly, being from a small town in southwestern Minnesota, I get to the Skyways and I feel like I'm in, like, Futurama. I'm like, damn, this stuff's cool. Like, because I'm walking, I'm like, man, I kind of felt like the cock of the walk, right? But then you see all of these little shops that were there, the nail salons, the restaurants, just like shoe shining, just like all these little things, these one-offs. And it just felt so cool to me because it was so foreign. And I can't walk through the Skyways now without just feeling a sense of sadness.
Well, a couple things, and we'll take your phone calls and your reaction at 651-461-9226. A few things. I know that it may come across as when I say, well, the Skyway, it's not cutting it anymore. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just being real about it. And also, with regards to the two blocks that I'm talking about, okay, where there's the Gabbett Commons and then also the City Center, there's something that we do differently in 2025. It's how we bank. To know that in those buildings we have banks, like, people are not going to gravitate to downtown Minneapolis because of those banks. I'm dead serious. No. So we have to honestly look in the mirror, be real, and say, what do we do with those two couple of blocks? I'm not saying that you put up any new hotels because we got plenty of hotels in downtown Minneapolis, but we got to do something different than what's taking place right now.
You have to fill it with a retailer that would fit whatever the clientele is. But what is the clientele? Like, I do agree that those blocks, when you walk through and you just see it's empty, you might see one retailer, but then you've got a couple of office spaces that are just vacant. And there's so much potential. But I think it's going to take the right retailer, and I don't know what that retailer is. I don't know who that is because, like you said, finance.
Is it just retail?
Well, I mean, you're talking about like retail, restaurants. I mean, I'm talking that. I mean, what do you?
Because that's
kind of what I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking anything like a retail, like a restaurant, someplace where you would spend that money.
I'm not knocking that. I'm saying, are we just saying retail, or do you think that some other company that has come up and been a player in the last 20 to 25 years should be recruited to come into downtown Minneapolis? I don't know.
Okay.
651-461-9226. Your text, your calls. We take them next year on The Lake Show. All right, let's get creative with City Center. Let's get creative with the Gabbett Commons. We can do a better job than what we're doing right now. Welcome back to The Lake Show. We're discussing that right now because there's some thoughts out there about what we can do to help Minneapolis bounce back. But I think that we got to start thinking more creatively about what that looks like. And so I just wanted to throw it out there as a talker tonight because we've seen articles, Axios talking about, well, maybe the Wolves should have a new arena right there. To me, both those blocks need to be dealt with. Your thoughts, your opinion, 651-461-9226. Let's go to MC2 calling from the city.
Hey, this is MC2 from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm just offering the speculation that the big days of the conglomerations are being downtown are pretty much gone from now on. I would say that I think that they started going away well before the pandemic. I wasn't keeping track, but I think that's what I observed.
Let me jump in real quick. You are correct on that because with regards to Target specifically, because Target's one of the big talkers, they had a location, and I don't even think that location is open now, where they had some people that moved into a building. I don't know if you know about the facility that they had over there by 394 and Highway 100. And now I know that they don't even have that facility anymore. So, yes, you are correct. There were certain companies that were moving out of some of the bigger areas and pockets of the city.
Yeah. And so, but also I think that what we're seeing is more people living in residentially down in St. Paul's. And it seems to me like they're kind of here to stay. And I think that they must have some things that they really need, and maybe some of the businesses down there might want to cater to them.
All right. Thanks for the phone call from MC2. I truly do appreciate it. Anybody else want to chime in? 651-461-9226. Let me read this text because I think this is a great text. This from the 651. They need to restore the idea that downtown is a place for a family to go on any specific day, to be able to browse about and be entertained without spending a lot of money, like the Mall of America. Minneapolis has to have the will to provide major subsidies for retailers to bring them back, eliminate all paid parking downtown, aggressively manage homeless people and other quality of life problems. Bloomington did it with MOA. So can Minneapolis. I like that text. And let's be clear here. I do think that that would go a long way with Minneapolis from a retail perspective, specifically with retail bouncing back, because I'm that guy. Like, I work downtown, but from a retail perspective, I don't shop downtown. I shop uptown. I shop Edina. And I shop MOA, and I also shop Minnetonka. There's no stores downtown that I care about. But let's say that they bring a few stores and a few restaurants downtown. Okay, I love. Okay. And clearly, like, I'm friends with David Fema. Fema's is in the city center. Cool. The parking, I think, is a big deal. Okay, because I know that people will say, well, hold on, if you're going to be in a downtown area, you're going to pay for parking, correct?
Correct.
Parking drives people away, though. Having to pay as much as you pay for parking drives people away. The only people that on a consistent, regular basis are willing to pay for parking in downtown Minneapolis are those that work downtown and those that come to sporting events. That's it.
Yeah. I do think there is something to be said for the affordability part of it, too, because you're right. If there's something that I can get downtown or I could get someplace else, I'm going to go someplace else because I know I'm going to pay more downtown. It doesn't matter.
I'm not paying a dime to go to the Galleria.
No. Exactly. Exactly. And for those that are not familiar with downtown, you need to make it, like I said, make it just more appealing to families and just make it more affordable. And the parking, I think all of those suggestions from the texter, I think they nailed
They
nailed a lot of them. Yes, they did.
They nailed a lot of them. I don't say it bugs me, but the whole idea of wanting us to be vibrant, we got to come up with some creativity about those two blocks specifically. What is, like, we're literally just a couple blocks away from there.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, we can walk like right over to it. And I guess for me, one thing that I know that, you know, you're talking about like, you know, companies or whatnot. To me, it's got to be something that is going to be consumer friendly. I mean, I know we want businesses like, you know, maybe a business could be like a tent pole of City Center. But at the same time, I think if you're going to put something in there, it's got to hook people. It's got to hook people. And I don't know what that is. Is that some sort of like a little family entertainment area? Is it like a little, I don't want to say like a, I mean, you've got Nickelodeon Universe Camp, you know, Camp Snoopy, whatever it is, Mall of America. I know you can't do that, but I mean, can you put some sort of an indoor park there, something for families?
From the 612, provide more inviting spaces to dine or listen to music outdoors during good weather months. So I'm surprised nobody on the text line has gotten upset the same way you got upset. But I'm waiting for somebody to say I'm wrong. The Skyway, man, I'm sorry. It's a wrap on the Skyway.
So what do? We just get rid of the Skyway?
No, I'm not saying get rid of the Skyway, but the Skyway's not an asset like it used to be. It used to be an asset. It's not that anymore. It's just old.
But we can still use it. It's like an old car. Just because it doesn't run as well doesn't mean you can't still love it.
But what I'm saying is the Skyway is not something you can sell to people anymore to get them to come downtown.
Oh, no. No. I think it's...
And it's not something that's going to make businesses thrive.
No, but it is an added bonus in the winter. But you are right in the sense that only during the colder months is it...
When it's extremely cold.
When it's extremely cold and you've got to have a reason to go. And maybe that's what it's... People don't come down to the Skyway just to mill around anymore. Because I used to love that. But I get it. I understand.
From the 952, I wish they could bring back the Harvest House cafeteria. It was in the corner of the IDS and the Skyway. The girls working there all seemed to be just off the bus from North Dakota. They were so cute standing there by the Jell-O go-round. What's the Jell-O go-round?
I don't know, but you're talking about girls from North Dakota. And I mean, I went to college in North Dakota, so my ears perked up.
Now you're all excited.
What?
You're all excited now. You hear girls from North Dakota and you get all excited.
I might be the only person that gets excited when you talk about girls from North Dakota, but yeah.
651-461-9226. Fresh off of a nice win on the road against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Head coach for your Golden Gophers, Ben Johnson. He joins me next year on The Lake Show. Oh, yes. It's right around the corner, opening day. But right now, it's still basketball season. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers squad over the weekend, nice victory on the road against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 67-65. And joining us now on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, head coach of your Golden Gophers, Ben Johnson. Coach, congratulations. That was a really nice victory that we saw on Saturday. And I guess the first thing that I would say is why is facing Nebraska on the road always so tough? That has been a hard place for Golden Gopher basketball teams to be able to win on the road there.
You know what? You're exactly right. That's the first time, you know, we've ever won at Pinnacle Bank, and that's about 10 years. So, you know, a couple of things. I think, you know, Fred obviously does a really good job, you know, and they've built, you know, a fan base and a following that, you know, rivals, you know, anybody, the Purdue's, the Michigan State, the Indiana's, you know, of our league, as far as just creating an environment that really backs that team, and the team plays off of that. You know, I was an assistant with Tim Miles when they were kind of talking about, you know, Pinnacle Bank, and you know what they thought about was just kind of Miles's personality, and he wanted to kind of make it like a party, and that's what it is. And so you're kind of battling the elements like you would at a Purdue or Michigan State, and you combine that with a really well-coached team that has good players. It was a major, major win for us.
I like Fred. Fred's a good dude, man. I've always been a fan of Fred Hoyer, going back to when he played at Iowa State, and then he played in the league, and then I got to know him a lot when I was in Kansas City and he was coaching at Iowa State. But he's just a good dude, and you're right. Like, he has his teams well-prepared, and they play well at home.
No, they do. And, You know, he's got that NBA experience to him, so he runs a lot of really good stuff offensively that puts your defenses in a bind. And, you know, he's definitely one of those guys that, you know, off the floor, you can't help but like Fred. Like, if you don't like Fred, that's more of a you problem just because, well, how great of a dude he is. But I think what it does for our team is, you know, it forced us to play at our best. You know, we knew going into that game we had to play our best. We had to elevate our play in order to compete and give ourselves a chance. And so I thought – our guys really grasped that, and we played some pretty good basketball, got off to a great start, and hopefully that can propel us here these next two Big Ten games.
Ben, you got to tell me, why are you guys so much better on the road this year than you are at home? I'm starting to think that there's something in the water. It ain't just Gopher basketball. The Minnesota Wild are the same way. I'm dead serious. The Timberwolves are the same way. What specifically with your squad, why are you so much better on the road?
You know, it's so interesting. We were actually talking about that today, just that it wasn't just us, that those other teams have had success on the road. I don't know. I've never been a part of it where, you know, we've won this much on the road compared to at home, especially in league play. And especially with a team, you know, that's new. You know, it's not like we've got a bunch of guys that we've retained. I mean, this is a new group, and they've just found a way to bond and have just a resolve, kind of us against everybody mindset. And it's worked, you know, it's really worked. And we've had some pretty big ones on the road. You know, obviously Nebraska, you know, was a bubble tournament team. And that was a really good win. And the one we had out in L.A. to get the sweep of UCLA and USC was huge. And, you know, I could go down the line. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, so we probably got to ask these guys after the year and kind of break it down, because we got to try to replicate this for years to come.
Yeah, we're talking to head coach for the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers, Ben Johnson, here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I had somebody, actually two people, actually this weekend, and I said, they said, man, you got to ask him this. And I was like, man, I don't know. This is above my pay grade. He's the coach. They said with Rigsby, they're like, man, why is this dude not playing more? Just looking at the athleticism that he has and him knocking down shots. He was clutch, and he hit the game-winning shot on Saturday. Just talk about his performance on Saturday and what he means to your program.
Yeah, no, Brennan was outstanding. And, you know, he's a guy – that has never wavered. I mean, he's been the same guy every day in practice. And, you know, there's been games where, you know, he's been able to play for a stretch and he's been able to get some things done offensively and defensively. There's been games where just it hasn't been his type of game, but he's never wavered on his work. And he was able to respond the right way because of all his habits. And he's got that ability, man. I mean, that's the reason why we looked at him in the portal. Was because of that experience he had at Oregon and, you know, his ability to use and play with athleticism. So my hope now, and I talked to him today, is let's bottle this up and let's finish the rest of the year with you in this mind frame that you have and the confidence that you have. Because, as you know, I mean, we have a team. We need everybody. And thankfully, when, you know, he was asked to step up and have one of his best games he's had of his career, he was able to deliver because we needed each and every point.
Now, Dawson Garcia is your best player. He's the guy that posts the numbers and all of that stuff. Is he the leader of your players?
You know what? Yeah, Dawson is, and I'll tell you, he's a guy that kind of leads with his energy. He leads with his vibe. He leads by just demonstrating what it's like every single day to be just a warrior. You know, Dawson will pick and choose when vocally he needs to add that leadership, but he more does it just with his play and just how he is in practice every day. You know, obviously the guys see the work that he puts in, you know, the stuff he does behind the scenes, how he works on his craft, how he's been indebted to me and this program. You know, he's a selfless leader. And low ego. I mean, low ego. And I think, you know, that's really kind of impacted our team. He's got that blue-collar work ethic. And he's a guy that, you know, is having a phenomenal year. But, again, it's like Brennan. There's no secret to success other than hard work, perseverance, and, you know, just being a good guy.
You know, one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up because you talked about work ethic and you talked about, you know, just really getting after it. And that, to me, summarizes what you've been. I have known you since you were at De La Salle High School. And it's funny because Coach Thorson, you know, he talks about grinders, right? He, you know, guys that just really want to grind it out and work hard. And you've worked hard, and the success that you've had going through the different levels of the coaching ranks and ultimately being a head coach, you worked hard to put yourself in that position. And I'm so happy for you in that way. But the question is this. When you get to this level, right, head coach, Big Ten school, your alma mater, you know, of course there's going to be criticism, right? You'll hear it. You'll see stuff in the newspaper. You know, you're under the microscope. How do you block that out, or do you even block that out? You just look at all of that and you say it comes with the territory. How has maybe the roller coaster of, you know, wins and losses been for you the last couple of weeks or the last month in terms of the noise out there?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I think for whether it's young coaches out there or new coaches, you know, there's so much on our plate that we have to focus on to be really good. And I owe my guys my full attention, my full mind, that if I start worrying about outside stuff that I can't control and I start letting – you know, there's positive or negative ideas, thoughts, comments get into my head, I just feel like I'm doing a disservice to the guys in my program and to the people that hired me to do a job and to be successful and to try to win games. And so there's always, as you know, going to be people that agree and disagree. I could win every game. Somebody's going to have something to say about style of play or this person should be playing more. You know, if you can't handle the criticism in this business, then you probably shouldn't be in it. That's the way I look at it. I think it does come with the territory. You know, I understand and I get it. I think this is my job to be able to kind of block the noise out, but focus and give all my attention to things that I can control. And that's coaching these guys, developing these guys, and trying to put our program in the best position to win games and be successful.
All right, speaking of noise, I do want to continue with the noise just for a second because, man, you got a really a strong boost over the weekend from Seth Davis. Seth Davis, we all know he does CBS Sports. He's a big part of the March Madness broadcast. He's a longtime, you know, writer. He was really singing your praises over the weekend, man, after you guys defeated Nebraska, says that you deserve to continue to remain on at the University of Minnesota. I guess my question would be, how does it make
it lightly, you know, super appreciative? And I think it also, you know, further motivates me. You know, I have all the confidence in the world in what my staff and myself are doing. And, you know, I just think today's day and age, it's so easy to sometimes, when you're in the moment, you know, get sidetracked or get off the agenda of what the main thing is. And when somebody like a Seth Davis is endorsing it, you know you're doing the right things. And, you know, we're continuing to get better. We've been a work in progress all year, but I think because we've just kind of grinded it out and we've stuck to our guns and we've poured into our players, you know, we've seen our program be able to take a jump here this back half of the season and win some big time games. I mean, we've got some pretty good wins under our belt that I think are telling. I mean, we've done some things that only a couple teams in our league have been able to do. And so now it's our goal to just stay motivated and continue to do this and finish this the right way, man.
Talking to head coach Ben Johnson here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Just a couple of final minutes with him. Wisconsin on Wednesday at the Barn, Rutgers on the road. Man, a tough couple of games to finish off the regular season, and you hope to, you know, be a part of the mix with the Big Ten Conference Tournament. How do you look at going into matching up with Wisconsin? Wisconsin's had an outstanding year. I think currently they're 12th in the country in terms of ranking, and Rutgers has underachieved, but they still got some guys with talent. How do you approach those next two games?
Yeah, no, we've got to have our hard hat on. I mean, you look at Wisconsin and obviously what they've been able to do for a big amount of this year, they've been one of the best, if not the best playing teams in our league. And we look at that as just an opportunity. You know, anytime you can compete against some of the best in your league and the best in the country, and we have a ton of respect for their players and what they do, that's the challenge that we want. You know, we want to run towards that. And I think our guys, you know, are excited for that. It will help elevate our play. And when you win a game and like we did at Nebraska. You want, you're excited for that next big opponent, that next big challenge. And then that's all we look at it, is it's an opportunity and a challenge that if you're a true competitor, you want to have. It's on our home court, and we want to play well. And the same thing for Rutgers. You know, obviously they got two of the most talented guys across the country. I think I saw the other day that, you know, they're right now they're projected 2 and 3 in the draft. And, you know, that type of talent just doesn't come through our league too often. And to have them on the same team, it poses a ton of challenges. But if you're not excited to play in that game, in that environment against those type of players and that team, and we got the wrong dudes, and I know we will. So these next two games will be challenging, but I know we're up for it, and we just got to continue the momentum that we've built since last win.
Hey, Coach, I appreciate the time this evening. Good luck against Wisconsin at home and then Rutgers on the road, and hopefully we'll see you in the Big Ten tournament.
Always, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. That's Coach Ben Johnson from the University of Minnesota joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Final few minutes and final segment of Hour 1. We do that next. All right, thanks again to head coach Ben Johnson for joining us. Beat the Badgers this week. Please beat the Badgers, baby. Beat Rutgers. I want the Gophers to be a part of the Big Ten tournament. We'll see how things play out. From the text line from the 612, with regards to the earlier conversation about downtown, city center, and the Gavaday Commons, what retail would you put there? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm trying to think of what stores and what could all go there to, because it have to be a mix. It can't just be just it would have to be a good retail mix. It can't be just one anchor type situation.
Yeah,
I just don't think that really plays anymore.
Yeah, it's got to be like an entertainment sort of district.
It has to be diverse. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They say, I don't know what I come out for from Woodbury. I want to buy at the Twins shop on non-game days, but parking is weak. Parking definitely, well, put it like this, and we said this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not working down here and I'm not going to a game, why am I entertaining the whole conversation around parking? Like, there's certain restaurants you're going to be like, yeah, okay, I love those restaurants. I want to go to Maison Margot. I want to go to FEMA's. I want to go to whatever. They got a new one in Northwood called Barcelona that everybody's been raving about. Like, there's a lot of good restaurants. I love to go to San Wasan. I'm not going to do that 24/7 to have to pay for parking. I don't think that people are looking. When you got other outstanding establishments in some of the suburban areas.
And that's where I think you see – I'd like to know how many people from the city go out to the suburbs to eat and to shop. Because we're always talking about, okay, you know, you got to have a reason for people from the suburbs to come downtown, which I agree. But when you're talking about how inconvenient it is, and I love downtown. I love the very fact that I'm able to work downtown. I can be downtown. I can see the skyline. I see US Bank Stadium at Target Field and Target Center and CCO. It's like I get all excited about what I'm able to do day in and day out. But logistically, for somebody coming down here, is it economically feasible along with being aggravating? I can understand where people are like, no, I don't want to do that. They have to make it more appealing, absolutely, but I don't know what that is.
From the 612, downtown used to have street-level storefronts up and down. Now it's just a glass and concrete canyon. Now, I know that we tend to, because we live here, right, and we want Minneapolis and St. Paul, we want Minnesota to be the best that it can be.
A good downtown in your largest city?
Yeah, it helps everybody.
It helps everybody in the state.
But I am going to be fair to Minneapolis and St. Paul. There are other cities that just aren't as good as even us right now in this moment. I'll give you a perfect example, a place I know well. A place I still visit, I still got connection to, a place that I lived for 5.5 years, Kansas City. Go to Kansas City, Missouri, the downtown where T-Mobile, formerly known as Sprint Center, was. That area, if there's not a concert going on, it's very reminiscent to St. Paul. If there's not something going on at XL Energy Center, it's kind of a ghost town.
Is that, and I don't know if that's, that'd be interesting to find out if that's with a lot of the bigger downtowns in metros or if that's just a Midwestern thing. Because that is very, I mean, that is interesting that you say Kansas City, that we're better off than what you saw in Kansas City. That surprises me.
Oh, we're way, no, absolutely. Hmm. Like you've got the Plaza area.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess the Plaza kind of is reminiscent to me of, it kind of has that feel like, oh gosh. Like if you're in France, on France and Edina.
Okay.
Not that far from the Galleria, kind of like that area.
Oh,
but then,
okay.
But then when you think about the actual district in downtown, KC Mo, vastly different. I just find it all interesting. All right, coming up next, is downsizing as you grow older a trend? I'll explain for all you baby boomers next.